Welcome inside the FIU Athletics Podcast, brought to us by Baptist Health. Well, it's officially that time on the sports calendar. Season previews abound, and it's not just football. Well, it's also football. Men's soccer, women's soccer getting going here on the campus of FIU. We got the chance to catch up with both of the footy coaches here in Miami. We'll start it out with the new man, Matt Dunn, taking over, but this is anything other than a rebuild. The reigning Conference USA champions in the regular season and in the postseason. So sky-high expectations for FIU women's soccer, but Coach Dunn's embraced that as well as being a through-and-through Florida man. Don't let the accent fool you. This is a guy who has been in the Sunshine State for a long time, and we'll touch on everything in this interview, from the death of a soccer position to working on a Ford truck in your driveway. A quick timeout, and then the new FIU head women's soccer coach, Matt Dunn.
We often welcome people as a standard greeting. It's become as common as greeting another with a hello. At Baptist Health, being welcome has far deeper meaning. So welcome to the warmer side of care, where we advance innovation and treatments through research while educating the next generation of experts all close to home. Here, the sun shines through each one of us as we stand by each one of you. Welcome to the warmer side of care. Welcome to Baptist Health.
Joined now by the new head man here in Miami, Matt Dunn, joining us on the FIU Athletics Podcast. Coach, I always ask players, the very first question is, why FIU? So I will turn it to you. In the interview process, in your informal visits here to campus, what stood out to you that had you saying, okay, FIU is going to be the place for me?
I would say the welcoming I got from other members of staff and some of the girls that I kind of already knew and what was already in place really attracted me. It was, seemed everybody was pulling in the right direction and was supporting each other. Questions I got asked kind of lined up with answers that I needed. And that was a big deciding factor for me to come here, was the people.
One of the other things, I think in a lot of parts of America, the commute from West Palm Beach to Miami might be doable. Here it is not. So how has the move for you and your family gone in coming down to South Florida?
It's surprising you say that because I am doing the commute.
Wow.
It's a sacrifice, but my daughter got into a very good school that she was top of a list that she picked up in West Palm, and really how fast everything moved to try and get both of my kids into schools and find a house while planning preseason and recruiting still and getting everything set. It was all just too rushed. So we decided that for now I'll make the commute. So as long as I hit the road no later than 6:30, I'm here in plenty of time.
We've had coaches do it before. They'll live up in Lauderdale by the sea and come down, but it's tough. You learn in the secret back ways where you can, like, all right, I can get this way, maybe avoid 95 a little bit extra.
The good thing for me is everything's turnpike. So
right, that's true.
Getting on the turnpike in West Palm, straight down to the Hard Rock, and then come straight across, and I'm in. So
awesome.
As long as there's no accidents so far, I've only been stuck for 3 hours once. So fingers crossed.
Can't think of many things worse. So let's talk about some good things and talk some soccer a little bit. This is a team that's obviously coming off of a conference championship, but is going to be very different. What was your first objective in building this team? While understanding you have to do 9 things at once, right? There is no, okay, we're going to do step one, step two, step three. It's 1A, 1B, 1C. But what was 1A for you in this instance?
Meeting all the returning players. I was fortunate enough to get 2 weeks at least with practice in the spring season to just meet them, see who brings what, you know, from a soccer standpoint and from a personality standpoint, and start to kind of build from there. So step one was, I need to get eyes on everybody that's coming back and spend as much time with them as I can so that I can form at least a little bit of an opinion on what I've got to build on.
Yeah.
And, you know, from what I saw, there's some really, really good positive things there, not just from soccer. Like I said, personality-wise, there's some characters which I like. And that really was stage one. Once I'd spent 2 weeks with them, I knew where I needed to go.
And then once you form that opinion into the recruiting cycle, what were you looking to do as far as a recruiting future FIU Panthers went?
It was a bit of a whirlwind because obviously you don't have that much time. You're very far behind everybody else. We were already in April when I sat in the seat, by the time I'd peeled back the scholarship budgets and seen what I had to work with and where I was going, it was difficult. Now, luckily in this day and age, we're fortunate with the transfer portal, but that doesn't really always give you answers. So we had to kind of sift through that like every other school was doing at that point. Coming from where I was coming from in the NEIA, as you can see from some of the recruits, there are a lot of NEIA ties. They were fortunate that they all get given one extra year. So it helped me be able to pick them up last minute because they weren't being recruited by anybody because that wasn't an option before the new rule came in place. So we were fortunate that way to pick up some NEIA All-Americans that have had good careers where they're coming from, and they get to come in straight away. You know they're ready to play at this level.
To that exact point, how helpful is it for you to have Delfina, a player who obviously knows what you do and how you do it, coming over to FIU?
For me and for her, it's not the unknown. We both know each other. I only spent the one season at Kaiser together, but we've already formed kind of connections. She knows me. I know her. She knows kind of my thought process and where we want to go. So that was an added bonus.
I'm curious what the biggest adjustment, whether it be for Delfina or the Cumberland players who, like you say, have done everything you can at the NAIA level. What do you think their biggest adjustment is going to be coming to Division One?
I think the scale of things, everything here is a lot bigger.
Sure.
You know, everything's being done on a grander scale. At the NEIA level, we're taking 10-hour bus trips as where now we're flying. You know, it's little details like that that you don't think of. But for these girls, that'll be a big adjustment and hopefully an exciting adjustment for them in terms of they've not seen it before. They're experiencing it like a freshman. So very excited to see how they adjust. I think from the game itself perspective, some of the games, obviously, everybody's going to highlight Florida State right out the gate and be like, look, that's your benchmark. But also, these are girls that are national champions, that are defensive players of the year, that are NAIA players of the year, All-Americans. They've got pedigree. Yeah. So the game itself, I don't think, is drastically different. Maybe just the odd game like the Florida State, you're looking at it going, that one might be a little bit different. But the rest of them, I think they'll be able to pull from their experiences in what they've done already throughout their careers.
How much, to that point, do you look for international experience? I mean, you look up and down this roster, you have team captains, players representing senior national teams. Is that something you're actively trying to recruit? And how do you balance the international and Florida International University with domestic recruiting as well?
You want a bit of both. You can balance it quite well, and they can bring experience to where the local, you know, the local Florida kids, so to speak, doesn't have, but wants. So it's kind of giving them something to challenge for or go up against in practice and be like, where am I compared to X, who is national team captain or who is under 20 World Cup player? That creates competition internally. Mm-hmm. So it's a good balance. I am excited to see how some of the maybe uncovered Florida girls that no one's really known of shape up against some of these players of that caliber.
Have you, and understanding it's still very early, noticed that extra camaraderie, whether it be four players from Cypress Bay High School, you know, salute to West Broward County, that's where I grew up, so big fan of that particular decision, or, you know, the players that knew each other from NAIA, right? These players all have experience with each other before they even put on an FIU kit.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, that does help in the team bonding with having, let's say, 14 new players and 14 returning players, but out of the 14 returning players, they know three or four of the new ones. And that speeds up the process when you're trying to build that team dynamic and that team culture. So it's very good for me as a coach to be able to use that as we're going along. They're not all going into it 28 brand new people, not knowing anybody, not knowing anything about each other.
Right.
They've all got some sort of connections. Ambar knows Delfina from Argentina, not from anywhere over here. So little things like that, like the NEIA girls, I know Grace knows Jaden from Summer League, or, you know, they played against each other. And then you've got the local girls that went to high school together, maybe played on the same high school team, maybe played against somebody from another high school team. We'll hopefully be able to draw that out quick so that we can get over that hurdle of everybody getting to know each other slowly. We need that to happen quick.
To happen quick. Everything is fast, fast, fast in college athletics these
yep.
days. Once they take the pitch, what does a Matt Dunn coach team look like tactically? from a shape standpoint, from an objectives, key performance indicators, things like that. What does that look like to you?
Very hard to play against.
Sure.
I want teams to play us and say, we don't want to play them again. That was a nightmare. Reasons for that, you know, at the NEI level, we were known, my old teams, for being fit, physical, very workhorse mentality, very high press, very attack minded, where when you're playing us, you know you've been in a game. And that's what we need to bring out here. To go from where we are now into that next level, that's what we're going to have to turn in, where we don't take days off. There's no gimmies. There's no time to rest. Everything is high intensity. Everything is all about creating chances, scoring goals, making the other team uncomfortable.
That high press, that turnover-oriented mentality, does that come from your background as a sweeper where, hey, my goal is take the ball away, otherwise somebody's probably going to score a goal?
No. Back in my day, I got to stand at the back and just relax. That was the best part about being a sweeper. Being a sweeper, it was boring. You know.
Right.
So my teams, when we practice, we're attack. Let's get up the field.
Right. The ball's always over there.
Yep.
Not really a sweeper in your current system, I imagine.
Not at all. No. I wouldn't have been playing the way I want my defenders to play if it was me. We're going to play very risky at the back.
Yeah. I want to talk about you a little bit. I think a lot of people don't know the Florida that you bring to this table. You know, obviously you've been at Kaiser, but you met your wife down here. You went to school down here. You got your master's down here at Kaiser. Tell us how that happened. You know, how your brother led you to South Florida. And from there, you're as Florida born and essentially as any of us at this point.
He have been half of my life, well, over half of my life now in Florida. So yeah. Came at 21 and now I'm 43 and I'm still here. So my brother went to Lynn. So I came on holiday, visited, watched him, saw what the lifestyle was like, saw things that I liked and thought, you know what? Let's give it a go. So came in 2003 and then literally never wanted to go home after that point. So from there, I've just kind of gradually worked my way through the steps that you do. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough that my coach at Kaiser gave me my chance to start coaching and then kind of moved into that next role of associate, next role as head coach. And along that way, obviously got married, obviously had kids, and now it's nowhere else I would really like to go, you know. Spoiled every day when we wake up with this weather.
You've evolved into full Florida man
full
now.
Full Florida now, yeah. Welcome. Shorts and t-shirt every day.
Absolutely. We wouldn't have it any other way. And to that point, because you are now Florida man, I have to ask you this. Your wife was a golfer in college. How is your golf game as we sit here today?
She won't like it that I say it, but mini golf, I can beat her every day. Real golf, no chance.
No chance.
I can't, don't have the patience. I can't tactically do anything about my swing. So we don't play apart from mini golf because I know I can win.
There's no high press in golf. You can't rush things. You have to take it at its time.
You can only blame yourself at golf.
It's just don't you I know
the, it. It's a lonely, lonely place out there.
Mm-hmm. I live in that lonely place often, unfortunately. Some other fun things about you that people may not know. A big WWE fan. Where
yes.
did that come from?
Well, growing up when I was a little kid, I would watch and then I kind of took a time out there where you get as an adult. And then once my son came along, one day we watched it when he was younger, started to then get into it. And then he started to buy the action figures. And then I kind of rekindled my love for the sport. Mm. We've been to WrestleMania. We've been to Royal Rumble. We've been to Monday Night Raw. SmackDown, any of the shows that come down here we'll go to. So it's kind of like being a little kid again, but really it's the big influences that he likes. It's something that we kind of share.
Do you have a favorite wrestler growing up and do you have one now?
I was always Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yep.
So
great answer. That's a great answer. And then the other thing, and this may be more Florida man than anything else, working on the Ford truck. How's that been going for you?
She's kind of took a back seat.
I'm quite sure.
She's not had much love over the last probably 3 or 4 months with me being down here getting everything done. But I'll be able to pick up where I left off with her. She's on the driveway, so she's getting there. But she's old, 1988. She's an old, but she still runs pretty good.
Hey, those trucks last a long time. You can show them some love. They'll be right there for you. Last one for you. We'll let you go, Coach. Some players that fans should be excited to watch coming up here in this 2025 season.
Returning wise, I would think Shinatsu in midfield would be somebody that's going to be a bright spark for us, getting goals, assists, hopefully for that. I think Jaden coming in with her pedigree as a goal scorer would be one to watch. Across the back line, you could say Jay at the back. You could say Zora, Natia coming in. I think goalkeeper-wise, Val will definitely build on what she did last year, which is going to be great for us because you want to build from the back, you know, clean sheets, win games. So as long as she's doing that, we can kind of all do other things. But I think there's a lot of talent there that's going to surprise people that comes out of nowhere. So I'm not going to release too many secrets and just say, you know, the more games you come and watch, the more you'll be entertained by the younger ones that have also got points to prove.
It's not too often that a reigning conference champion could sneak up on people. But FIU's going to have that chance.
Yeah, we're hopefully everybody is kind of, I don't know, blinded and we can sneak in under the radar.
Well, it's great to have you, Coach. It's great to have you start to settle in. I know when you first got to campus, lost trying to find a Chick-fil-A. Now that's no longer the case, I imagine.
Now I can get around.
Locked in.
Now I need a scooter to get around.
You and the rest of us to boot. All right, Coach, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
Great to meet Coach Dunn right there. Excited to see what this team can do. There's obviously a lot of new faces, but they went out and, as you heard, in not a lot of time, added tremendous resumes and pedigree to this FIU women's soccer team. And it sounds like they want to play a style that is very familiar for Panther fans. High press, chaos, agitate your opponent. These are all phrases that have applied to the FIU men's team for a long time, particularly under Kyle Russell. And so that's where we'll head next on the FIU Athletics Podcast brought to us by Baptist Health. The multi-time conference champion got it done in Conference USA, got it done in the American, nearly did it again last year despite some massive injuries and some consistent turnover in the lineup. The Panthers still made it to overtime in the American Championship before falling to their rival Charlotte. They'll get another shot at them this year, and so we dive into all things men's soccer with the man himself, Kyle Russell. After a quick pause.
Hey, it's the Good Greek Spiro, and this is a special thank you message to all our loyal customers and fans for making Good Greek Florida's most referred mover. For decades, Good Greek has been the trusted brand for all your relocation needs. So whether it's across town or across the country, for the best move ever, go with Florida's most referred mover, Good Greek. And thank you.
Good Greek, moving in storage, your superhero movers.
Joined now by the head man, Kyle Russell, here on the FIU Athletics Podcast. And Coach, I'm going to start with the fact that we're both getting old.
We are.
The better part of a decade here at FIU now. When you hear that, when you think about the time here, certainly no longer the new guy on campus.
Yeah.
What comes to mind when you think about it so far?
Honor. Humbled. I love it here. I love FIU. I love everyone I work with. And you know, they say time flies when you're having fun. And it really is. It really is flying. But I feel like there's just so much more to accomplish. I think we're taking a ton of steps in a positive direction. And there's a lot of evidence to prove that. Man, I'm just excited for every season. Like, it's my first day here at FIU.
I want to go back to last year. I think for a lot of programs in America, a heartbeat away from a trophy and a conference title would be a good year. I know for you, you probably feel a little bit differently.
Yeah, I do. It's funny because a lot of people want to talk about, they only see one or two sides of the coin where they're like, oh man, guys had a tough season. And it's like, well, we lost in overtime in the championship game of one of the toughest conferences in the country. So, but yes, to my standards, we did. The other side of the coin is people be like, oh man, what a heartbreak. You guys were so good. You lost in overtime. No, it wasn't good enough. We need to be better. We have higher standards. So I love that a down year for us looks like losing in overtime to a top 25 team in a top 5 conference in the country in a championship game. You know, the standards for us are trophies, and the standards for us are being top 25, and the standards for us is multiple guys going pro. So, you know, every now and then you have to take a step back and look at what you're doing. And obviously injuries played a huge part in it, but we all have to manage injuries. So I don't even like to use that as an excuse. Some very important players were not available to us for a large part of the season. And I'm very excited to say that they'll be back and they're healthy right now. It makes me antsy waiting for preseason to come.
You talk about those injuries. We'll talk about that in a sec. But you mentioned looking at it and kind of evaluating it. Are there lessons to be learned from the battle scars, from the adversity of last year? Again, understanding, almost won a conference title.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think of a guy like Joao Dominguez, the only 4-year guy on our team. He is very important to us and how we play. But when he got here and he was 19 years old, first time in the country, He's winning trophies his first 2 years, and he's loving life. And he's in the NCAA tournament in his second year and his first year, and he's loving it. He thinks this is like, oh, this is normal. And I try to preach to him, like, be present, be grateful, understand that you have to earn everything, and this is not normal. There's only 48 teams in the country every year that are in the NCAA tournament. There's even fewer that win their conference tournament. So, you know, I think last year kind of those words echoed in his head, and he's like, hold on a second. This is not what I'm comfortable with. This is not what I want to be a part of. I want to win trophies. I want to be in the NCAA tournament. It doesn't come easy. You have to earn every day. So I think he's coming back fired up, and he's a great guy to speak to our team and let them know, like, listen, I've seen what greatness looks like here at FIU, and then I also have seen a tough season. So, you know, a guy like Joao Dominguez is a great example of, hey, man, you're good, but let's be great.
Last thing on last year, and we'll hop to this year. I have a theory I want to run by you, because sure. I've been saying it since last year. If the season was 2 weeks longer, FIU is in the national tournament. Lalo was getting healthy, right? The team was really finding its footing. You look at guys who started the year where they started it to where they ended it, they were playing way better. It just, the clock ran out literally in overtime.
Yeah. So I'm an optimist. So I'm going to tell you I 100% agree.
Okay.
Remember Nigel at the end of the season, he couldn't even kick the ball. He was on one leg. He was starting to get healthy and come back in playoffs. Like you said, Eduardo Mustre came back in playoffs. However, people don't understand, they forget that we lost one of our heartbeats of the team in Edgar Aguilar, our captain, heartbeat. So we lost him in the FAU game. So going to Memphis, beating the number one seed that is hosting the tournament, beating them by multiple goals on the road is something that does not happen often in tournaments. So for us to do that without him was huge, but for us to sustain it is very difficult because he was the heartbeat of our back line. So yeah, we would have had to have some things go our way, but he's one guy that I miss dearly moving into this season, just from a human standpoint. He's a fantastic character, fantastic player as well. So he'll be out at a lot of the games. He's still in the area. But yeah, man, we started to figure it out there at the right time, didn't we?
For sure. No question. And the good thing is that a lot of the rest of that heartbeat outside of Edgar is coming back. Look at that back line. It's about to get some big reinforcements coming from a guy who was already on the roster. If you were fantasy drafting as a head coach, right, yeah, your top three positions may be in some order: goaltender, primary goal scorer, dynamic center back.
Yeah.
You get all three returning here.
100%, yeah.
And so how much do you plan on leaning on those three guys in Owen, Lalo, and of course the big man in net?
Yeah, it's massive, right? So we technically will have 11 returners, okay, out of a 28-man roster. So that means there's a lot of new faces. Yeah. Last time we had a lot of new faces to this amount of number, we won two trophies.
Right.
So that doesn't scare me. It actually excites me. And a lot of guys come in moldable and really, really wanting to please. And they're not intimidated by a logo or a color of a jersey. They just, who is this team? I've never heard of them. Let's beat them. But yes, Nigel, Owen, Eduardo Mustre, I mean, any team in the country would pay every dollar they have in their scholarship budget to keep those three guys with their team. So those guys are loyal. They're dogs. They're leaders. They earn it every single day in training. So those three guys out of my 11 returners, those three guys are going to definitely be steering the ship for us this season. And you're going to see a direct correlation with maybe one or two guys. But if those three guys are healthy, our team's going to be doing very well.
You mentioned the moldable new faces. It was interesting as I was going through the roster, a lot of freshmen, and we don't ordinarily bring in true freshmen quite that way. Yeah. Was that something that you guys deliberately set out to do, or it was as you're going through the recruiting process, well, this kid's really good, and yeah, we don't care that he's a freshman?
So for this year specifically, there's four things that we've identified that we need to attack in recruiting that may have been different from other years based on the players we had returning. So we wanted to make sure, one, that we increased our pace, okay? So we have brought in a lot of guys that have an extreme amount of pace. Dominic Brady from Scotland, for his age group, he's one of the top four fastest players in the country in track and field. I'm not even talking about soccer. So speed was something very important for us to bring in. Size, gave up 10 goals on set pieces last year. and that was early days. And we really lacked size and aerial dominance. So that's something that we attacked, and we've brought in a lot of guys like Pasquale from Italy and Johan from France. These guys are extremely fast and also have a professional profile in terms of their size. The other thing that we wanted to make sure we brought in was goals. So when Lalamoustre got injured, we struggled to find goals. So Lalamoustre is coming back and he's healthy, but we brought in guys from other countries that have a lot of goals to their name. And the fourth thing, which answers your question here, I'm coming to it. I'm going to land the plane. The fourth thing here is that we've increased is our age. So we've actually increased our age, even though it says on the website that they're freshmen. They're not true American freshmen right. that are 17 years old like I was when I went to college. I was 17 years old as a freshman. These guys have had gap years or served in the military or they enrolling for the first time in the university after graduation and having some time off. So we've actually increased our age from last year to this year by a year and a quarter. Our average age is over 22 years old this year. So we look like we have a lot of young players academically, but we're actually the oldest we've been since the Matteo Gasparoni era, back when we were winning all these trophies. So those four things, the age was something we wanted to attack as well, because there's maturity. You need maturity and game savviness to win those overtime games on the road for a championship. We lacked a little bit of that last year. So the website will show you where they are academically, but it does not show you their age.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Matteo, because I'm curious what that relationship has been like for you, going from player, where he was phenomenal for us, probably one of the most underrated players in a long time here, to now coach, and now his coaching role continues to elevate. He gets promoted in the offseason. What's that been like for you?
It's been awesome. I love him. I love him to death. There's guys like him that have come through your program that are special that you just don't want to graduate. You know, Mateo's one of them. I think back with Kareem Riley, who we called Enzo, Johan Penaranda, David Garcia, a lot of jerseys you see hanging up on the wall. You know, Matias Lavanette, and obviously Edgar Aguilar. These guys, you just, like, can we get you a seventh year, an eighth year of eligibility? You know, Mateo is really transitioning well from being a player to a coach. He's mature, he's professional, he knows the game. The best part about it is he knows myself and Coach Danny. And so he can almost say what we're going to say before we say it. And so it helps us move faster. It helps us with a bridge to the players. He's a go-getter. He's helped us sign multiple guys on our roster, and he's only been a part of our staff for a couple of months. So I'm thrilled to have him, and he knows the standard of FIU. So any new player that comes in and says, coach's standards are too high, he's like, well, I've done it. I've been top 25. I've won multiple trophies. I've had a bunch of my teammates sign pro. Like, that's who we are. That's what we do. We don't schedule soft games. We don't schedule teams that you've never heard of. Everyone you see on our schedule, either we have to play them because they're in our conference, or they're going to help our RPI, and coaches sought them out. So he's been a fantastic addition. I'm really excited to see how it pays off this fall season.
How much does it help to develop pipelines with somebody like Matteo? You see the Italian presence on this team, or what Stephen Afrifa did, introducing a Canadian player to the algorithm, right? How helpful is that to have these access ways to different countries in a very international game?
That's huge. It's huge, especially with the language, right? He speaks Spanish, he speaks Italian, he speaks English. So he helps tremendously in terms of communicating. But the pipeline to Italy is there and strong, and he's gone recruiting out there already out in Italy. So that's been massive. And it's a country that myself and Coach Danny haven't spent too much time in. Yeah, pipelines are massive. And usually when you get some guys having success and enjoying themselves from one country, it opens up the floodgates for that country. You know, obviously, Mexico is a big one for us. France is a big one for us. Now we have a strong pipeline with Italy, and I'm thrilled to see how it pays off, because the Italian players, man, they have some edge to them. They have some bite, and they do not take losing lightly. Right. So I think I'm going to get along just well with them.
It's a perfect match. It's a perfect match. I want to talk about a couple of the other returners that we haven't mentioned so far. Nico Villalobos puts the 10 on now.
Yes.
What are your expectations for him wearing the biggest number in soccer?
He was on invite-only trial this summer with Nigel out to Austin, Austin FC. So he's been identified by multiple professional teams as a guy who can play at the next level. Obviously, him being American helps him a lot.
That's a couple times he's been with Austin,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so expectation for him is to do what some of our best 10s in the past have done, you know, like Yushi. Right, from Japan. Yushi was one of my favorite 10s that I've ever coached. where they work their socks off, and they're as dangerous with the ball as they are without the ball. They can make you pay in possession or out of possession. So this year we're looking for him to be a little bit more direct, a little bit more selfish. And I think he's going to do it because he came through the, you know, the Barry Division II pipeline to us. And now he has his teammate joining him, from Scott Neal from Barry as well. And they're really close. And we have a couple other Miami pickups. And so it's just going to hopefully help make him more comfortable to be himself and do what he does well. I think he's a top player, and you would never get the number 10 just because you're here. You have to be a top player to get it. So I'm excited to see what he does with that jersey.
And then the other guys, you touched on Joao a little bit earlier, and then you have Matisse Lefebvre as well. Those guys have been around. Matisse was playing a lot at the end of last year. Joao obviously was playing a ton.
Yeah.
How do those guys take that next step with the talent around them continuing?
Matisse and David Bakuzo, those two guys, right, coming back returners, they've played every game, every minute for their summer league teams. And they have been leaders on their summer league teams, some of the best summer league teams in the country. So those two guys have huge expectations coming back. They're both going into their final year of eligibility. And both of them had to play out of position for over 75% of our games last year. And they just want to play and do well. So they did it. But it's been fun watching them this summer online, watching them play their position. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the player I recruited. He's really good in that position. But because of all the injuries we had to play him in our back line. We went into big games last year with more midfielders in our back line than defenders. So it's going to be really fun to see their primary positions being played this summer, going into this fall. And yeah, man, I know that they are eager to finish with a ring on their hand, as well as a diploma in the other. Yeah, all of our returning guys have huge expectations in front of them.
And then you've already touched on a couple, but who are some of the newcomers on this team that FIU fans should be excited to watch?
Well, funny you should ask. Pasquale from Italy. He is a freak of nature. And what I mean by that is you don't see 6'4" wingers.
Yeah.
You're usually strikers or center backs or goalkeepers. He's a winger. He has all the qualities to play at the next level. He's extremely fast, he's direct, he's technical, he can score with any part of his body. A lot of times you have to convince wingers to come closer to the goal. He always finds himself in front of goal, and he's very dangerous. He's a guy that makes a lot of people excited, and he's an older player, so he should hit the ground running. There's another guy, Johan Helen, H-E-L-A-N. He's from France, but has spent time in England as well, so he speaks multiple languages. He's spent time in Norway playing, and his brother actually played in the Premier League. So he's from a very athletic family. He's a goal scorer that can play anywhere up front. He's powerful. He's strong. He's fast. And he has a nose for goal. And so those two guys for me jump off the page in terms of exciting players. I think Scott Neal is a diamond in the rough from Barry. He's going into his sixth year of college. So talk about experience. He's a grad student, and he's from Scotland, and the guys from Scotland are a bit edgy. They're tough, no nonsense, and he's very versatile. And my players have played with him in previous summers.
Yes.
So he knows all of our returning players without ever playing with them in an FIU jersey. So I've watched him for years from afar, and I'm super excited to have him a part of our team. I could rave about all of them, but I'm just trying to pick out a few. Tebow, he's a grad student. He has 1 year of eligibility. He's 6'4", probably 6'5", but he's a really true 6'4". He's a leader. He's tough. He has played summer league with our guys this year. He's played at every division in the U.S. He's played at junior college. He went Milwaukee Division I. He went NAIA. Now he's coming to here for FIU. He didn't realize he had another year of eligibility. And when that rule changed, he's the first guy I contacted. I was like, hey, listen, do you know you have another year of eligibility? He goes, no, no chance. I don't. I'm done. And I'm like, no, you do. Here's the rule. How quickly can we speak? He was a guy that I've always wanted to coach, and it's like, it's finally happening. So he's an older player as well, doing his grad school, but he's a center back that I think pairs beautifully with Owen Travis. Owen Travis is the bull, and he's kind of more of an orchestrator, extremely fast, great athleticism, very technical, can play anywhere in the back. And then another center back, Emmanuel Gore. He's playing at the semi-professional level in Belgium. I've coached a lot of players that have his attributes, and he is a guy that we actually brought in for a visit, flew him in here in the spring, and he fell in love with us and Miami and the team. He's a freshman, but he's going to be 21-year-old freshman. He has a lot of eligibility in front of him, but he is an absolute horse. He's a tank, man. He is built like a brick house. He's left-footed, which is so hard to find. So he can play as a left back with, and compete with Joao Dominguez, or he can play as a left center back, or we could play with a back three because of him and Thibaut and Owen. So he gives us a ton of versatility, and the guys all felt like they've known him for longer than one day. Those are some guys that jump off the page at me, but I mean, you asked me this question 7 days into preseason, I'll probably give you four more names, you know?
You mentioned Thibaut. How helpful is it to have guys, you know, Thibaut played with Johan at Florida Memorial. You've got the Barry connection. Yeah. Obviously, these guys all play together in summer. Yeah. How helpful is having that connection before you even hit the practice?
Man, it's huge because, you know, here at FIU, we're not able to do what some of the other schools are doing with getting them in the summer and playing and training them and getting them in with the strength coach. So we have to find other ways to be creative. If you lack resources in one area, figure out how to be rich in another. So we believe that that's one of the ways we've been able to build relationships is by putting players together on different summer league teams. And then obviously getting friends of players of ours already. So like Alessandro Nassato, who's a transfer from Marshall. He's a Miami guy, and all of my Florida guys know him and love him. And he's been playing down here against some of our players in summer league. So there's a relationship being built. I really wanted to make sure I stayed away from cliques. I didn't want six guys from Mexico, seven guys from France. That's something that I got to always be aware of because it's human nature to go with your culture and the guys you're most comfortable with. I tried to take more of a Noah's Ark approach with two guys from here, two guys from there, two guys from there. But the cool thing is the web of relationships is already spread amongst our team. So the group chat, what I'm being told, the team group chat is lively. It's alive and well. They're all eager to be with each other here in the next week.
You mentioned the summer league teams. How helpful is it having the new team in USL2 in Fort Lauderdale? A lot of our guys are playing for them. Obviously, we're lucky enough where our guys are talented enough, they could really go anywhere in USL2 and be fine.
For sure.
But does it benefit FIU having a new team in Fort Lauderdale with so many of our guys playing for them?
It's massive. It's hard to find teams that do things right. That's something that's obviously hard to measure. And what I mean by that is they train consistently, they train well, they protect your players from injury, and they're going to help them with housing, they're going to help them with getting summer camp work. So you know, there's a lot to figure out for my players in the summer. And you're only allowed five at a certain team and at any given time. So there's a lot of things you have to manage. Fort Lauderdale, they play on a professional setup. Ali Hassan is a general manager. He's a good friend of mine. He's the older brother of Adam Hassan, which was the very first captain when I got here. Coached him for 1 year, and he was the captain of the team, and he was an awesome leader for us. So there was the relationship with the Hassan family. And he looks out for the FIU guys, and the FIU guys have been killing it for his team. So having that there and knowing that they're going to flip pro has been fantastic. And yeah, having them in Florida, staying used to this heat. Like, I don't know how much it's going to benefit them going to Des Moines, Iowa. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's hot, but it's not Miami. You know, there's a lot of good teams where we can send our players to. Yeah, I'm thankful for the teams like Fort Lauderdale. I'm thankful for some of these other teams that have taken our players, like FC Tucson, have taken a couple FIU guys. So yeah, there's a lot of good summer teams out there, but finding the right one for our guys is important.
You and I could talk forever.
For sure. Yeah. I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
I gotta let you go at some point, but we'll do one more and then we'll let you get back to work. The FIU Hall of Fame being announced.
Love it.
And men's soccer getting a huge nod. And what goes through your mind as you see the national championship head coach in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, you know, I have so much respect for the history here at FIU. Carl Kremser and Munga, and there's so many other names that I can name that are coaching at the MLS level, that part of what we're doing here from afar, they come to games. I'm so pleased and happy for Munga and Carl and for the Hall of Fame being up and running. Julie Berg was a huge part of that. Scott Carr obviously was a massive part of that. And I know there's other names that were a part of making that happen. That was something from the first day I got here, I was asking for a Hall of Fame, as I'm sure other people were as well. But man, there's a lot of history to respect and honor, and we're doing that now. So I'm so excited about that, man. I'm so encouraged. And it gives our young players an easy way to learn about our past and to see like, oh, wow, man, Mungo was one of the best goal scorer ever here at FIU. Wow, Carl Kremser, look how long he coached. Look how much success they had. And they give me something to strive for, you know? Like, all right, Carl, I see how many games you won. I'm going to try my best to get you, you know? So, but they're great human beings. They deserve the awards. And there's going to be more soccer guys in the future that I can't wait to celebrate. But, yeah, man, it's encouraging, so encouraging going into this fall season that it's up and running.
No doubt. And there's a lot of great history here at FIU. But if you had to pick the most historic program, it may very well be this one.
Yeah.
It may very well be men's
Absolutely.
Soccer with what those guys accomplished.
Absolutely. People are shocked when they hear some of the stats and the trophies and the awards and pros that have come through FIU. It is unreal how much history there is here at FIU for men's soccer.
And make no mistake about it, you've added quite a bit to that history.
Yeah, we're trying. We're scratching the surface. The Kremser days is the iceberg. We're the tip of it. We're above the water. He has all the depth underneath the water. So we're chipping away at it one season at a time. But I'm very excited about this season. 2025 is going to be a massive year for men's soccer. I can't wait to see the alumni out. We got a lot of youth teams coming to support us. We'll have the smoke out there. We'll have the music playing loud, and we're going to score a lot of goals and keep a lot of clean sheets.
It's always a great atmosphere. We can't wait to get going.
Absolutely. Thank you for your time.
Really could have gone another half hour with Coach Russell. Just sky high excitement and expectation for those guys year in and year out. But there has not been a full season in which they have not delivered on those expectations. You heard it there in the beginning, but if the down year is being mere minutes away from an NCAA tournament berth, you're doing a lot of things right. That program certainly is, and we cannot wait for them to get going. As well as the rest of the programs on campus, the dog days of summer are over. We could not be happier about that. Now we get rolling. Keep it locked right here on FIUsports.com. We're going to have training camp previews from the gridiron. We're going to touch on volleyball. We're going to continue coverage of the soccer teams and everything happening throughout the fall right here in the 305. Great time of the calendar. Excited to have all of you along for the ride. But for now, and as always, pause up.
At Baptist Health Orthopedic Care, you don't have to be a pro athlete to be treated like one. We use the latest techniques to give you an accurate diagnosis, along with surgical and non-surgical solutions, no matter who you are. Our team of specialists will do everything to help you perform at your best again. And with personalized recovery and rehabilitation plans, you'll be back to living your life to the fullest in no time. Welcome to Pro Level Orthopedic Care.